Gracious Heavenly Father, today we want to talk about how we are forgiven, restored. We have much to rejoice in. And we pray, Lord, that you would lead, guide, and direct us as this congregation moves forward under that gracious and marvelous gift you have given us of our eternal salvation. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You and I, every day, are writing another page, or maybe it's a chapter of your book, by your very thoughts and your words and your deeds. Paul writes in our epistle this morning, "For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by me, by any means possible, I may obtain the resurrection of the dead." God leads, guides, strengthens us through that journey we call life. He leads us on that journey, and as his baptized children, he is there with us. Think about that, and I really want you to focus on what that means in your own life. For instance, this Wednesday we have baptism of a whole family of children. And here is that journey beginning as God's children. What a marvelous thing that will be as we welcome them into God's family. And as I was thinking about, there's a story of a gardener who worked on a very large estate with a great mansion. He was one of these gardeners who talked to his plants as they bloomed in the garden. He was also known to hold those little seeds sometimes that he planted in the ground, and he would talk to them. And on one occasion, he was overheard talking to one of the little seeds. And he said, "Little seed, what do you plan to become? You are so small and insignificant. However, I am going to bury you in the ground, and one day, when a warm weather comes and you are nurtured by the rains and that fall from the heavens and the sun that shines so brightly, you will grow up into this beautiful flower that one day might even be chosen to be in a banquet adorning the table inside the mansion." And how can you become something like that? Not by you alone, but by God working in you. Think about that. God working in each one of our lives. We are precious in the sight of God. God has planted each of us where we are to grow, to be nurtured, to blossom. God shines his light of love upon us every day, forgiving, restoring, giving us strength to run the race before us, until that day when we too can rejoice in his presence. Every day is a new page in our book. And those pages become chapters. And God is shining his light upon each one of us. He sends the sun and the rain. He cares for each one of us. And he gives us the strength, yes, to deal even in those dark moments as we take our journey of life. In the epistle reading, as Paul writes this letter to the church at Philippi, it appears that there are some Christians, the Judaizing Christians, who are creating a problem at Philippi. They agreed that Christ had accomplished salvation for us, but that there were still certain rituals that we needed to hold on to very fastly, like the ritual of circumcision. In other words, they wanted to put their confidence in these fleshly signs. Paul reminds them that from that perspective, if we just look at it from the human kind of thing, he sort of puffs up his own chest. He says, I have far more confidence than any of you. And he lays out all of those credentials he has as being that good Jewish person, being zealous for the law, zealous even to the point of persecuting Christians. He can lay out all of these accomplishments, and then he says, look at all these things I have done. They are pure rubbish. And if you translate the Greek there, there's another word. It's called dung. Okay? All rubbish. Why? Because there's something far more important. All of these pale when we consider the passing worth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished for us. He has moved from that bondage to the law, and many of us get stuck there. We get stuck because we like laws. And if you don't believe me, why do we have so many? And why do we continue writing more all the time? Because we love living under the law. But the truth is, it doesn't save us. It never will. Sometimes gives us a reason to puff up. You know, I never break that law, so that's good, right? But reality is, the law will not save you. It is a bondage. And sometimes we get a hold of that bond. We see it all the time in the world which we find ourselves in right now. When we look at all of the chaos, and that's probably the best way to put it, it's a time for us to rethink who we are, how we live, what we want to be. Because you see, what really matters is what God has done for us. Consider your own life. Have you come to grips with your own sinful nature? The things you want to do, you do not do, and the things you do not want to do. How many times do we have to say that in our lives? Sometimes, at least for me, it becomes overwhelming. Sometimes I think about, what would my life be without Christ? And it becomes a very scary thought. What would my life be like if I didn't know that God loves me? That God calls me by name? That God covers me? That's what it is to be about word and sacrament ministry. The means of grace, word and baptism and Lord's Supper. It's about learning to be able to know that when we confess our sins, our God is gracious and loving and forgiving. And that's most important in every one of our lives. We will sin. Better yet, we do sin. But we have a God who forgives us all of those sins. We have a God who poured out His love upon us, who saves us by His grace. It is not our doing, as he would write to the Ephesian church. It is a gift from God. And sometimes I don't think we really think hard enough about what it is to be gifted with God's grace. We just take it for granted. And yet it is through forgiveness you and I are restored. And when we are restored, we have a reason to rejoice as God pours out His love upon us. I don't know about you, but there's times when you just sit and look back. And you look back at some of the things in your past life and you say, how did I get through it? Or you look back and say, boy, I'm glad nobody knew about that part of my life. But reality is, God knows every moment. God knows everything. And when we are tempted and fall to those temptations, we may believe we've kept it from everybody else, but we haven't kept it from God. Because you see, those sins and those temptations chip away at our relationship with our God. And sometimes they hold us back to really being a forgiven and restored person because of what Christ has done for us. The last couple of days we were in Breckenridge and we had an opportunity to work together as all pastors and teachers together through what it is to be a Christian and what it is to deal with a lot of things going on in our lives and how God really plays into all of that. The cross, so beautifully always before you when you come into this sanctuary. Or even as you leave, sometimes we never acknowledge the cross is on the back wall. Is to be a reminder to every one of us that yes, we falter, we fall. We need God's grace because we are always running towards that race. Now, some of you are runners. Yeah, I used to be. And then that was a part of my past. But you see, the reality is we all still run a race. It's a journey that God has put each one of us on. We know our beginning because we know when we were born. What we don't know is when that journey comes to an end. We know God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness. And we should be confident that He has restored us by that cross, by an empty tomb. And when we look at that cross and recognize the empty tomb, we ought to rejoice and look forward to that day when we can have the wonderful dessert, because I know around here, dessert is pretty important. But we have the great dessert of that eternal presence with God. And so as brothers and sisters in Christ, we know that Christ will return, and on that day, He will come in all of His glory, and we can look forward to that because through faith, by believing in what God has accomplished for us, we might be that flower on the banquet table in that holy mansion. You are forgiven, restored. Rejoice in who you are because of what God has done and is doing for you. Amen.